Now, we're going to begin today with events in the Middle East and by looking ahead to next Tuesday, when the Palestinian flag will be flown at Leinster House on the day that Ireland formally recognises the State of Palestine. There's been reaction from Israel to the move by Ireland, Spain and Norway to grant formal recognition to Palestine. You may have seen the Hamas Thanks Ireland video put out online by Israel's foreign ministry. Israel also summoned the ambassadors of the three countries to be reprimanded, an engagement which began with the diplomats being shown a video of Hamas militants taking Israeli army conscripts hostage. Tánaiste and Micheál Martin described that treatment of ambassadors as totally unacceptable and said it was outside the norm by which diplomats are treated in any country. We look at the practical impact of granting recognition to the Palestinian state in a moment, but firstly, I've been speaking to Dr. Alon Liel. He's a former Director General of the Israeli Foreign Ministry and also a former Israeli ambassador to South Africa. And I began by asking him how he viewed the Israeli government response to the recognition of the Palestinian state by Ireland, Spain and Norway.
Israel's response, I think, is weaker this time than it was 10 years ago when Sweden did it. The reason is that the criticism of Israel is coming now from so many directions that we cannot respond massively to all of them. And maybe to put it in other words, Israel lost its diplomatic deterrence. Until October 6, countries that were critical about what we were doing in the territories, especially with the settlements, and definitely in the fact that we do not have the peace process now for a decade, kept quiet because it was almost impossible to confront Israel, especially bilaterally and directly. And I think now, after the war in Gaza, when the world is watching the pictures coming out of Gaza, these hidden negative feelings toward Israel popped up and joined the criticism for the Gaza war. So we have this. And in addition to it, we have the classic anti-Semitism that also raises its head. So it's a combination of the three factors.
Does Benjamin Netanyahu care?
I think he personally knows that the world exists. The public has a different picture. A big part of the Israeli public doesn't give a damn on the world. Some of them do not even know the magnitude of the criticism on Israel, the reasons for the criticism. For many Israelis, the world is anti-Semite by definition. And no matter what we do, we'll be criticized and boycotted and so on. I think Netanyahu is different because he served abroad, he studied abroad, and he is a diplomat in his profession. So I think the fact that most of the Israelis do not care about this criticism pushes him to this position too.
What do you think the Ministry of Foreign Affairs playbook is going to be here? You say their response has been relatively muted so far by comparison to how they treated Sweden 10 years ago. So what can Ireland, Spain and Norway expect now, would you imagine, in terms of Israel pulling diplomatic levers with countries that support it?
It depends a lot if Belgium and Malta will join soon. If Belgium and Malta will join, and maybe, who knows, afterwards France, Israel will be able to do almost nothing. If it stays only with these three countries, we will probably keep our ambassador here and call your ambassadors frequently to the ministry in Jerusalem. I don't think Israel can do much more than that. We are under the attack of the International Court of Justice, under the attack of the International Criminal Court, soon probably a Security Council vote on the order of the International Court of Justice. So Israel, I think, is very limited in what it can do. But again, if more recognitions are in the pipeline, the less we'll be able to do with our response.
What do you think the practical effect of the recognition will be? The stated position of the Irish government is that they say they're recognising the state of Palestine in order to reinvigorate talks around a two-state solution. Is there any prospect of this having the desired impact within Israel at any point in the political spectrum?
Not with this government. But we really hope that this government will not last forever. And in addition to it, and again, it depends if the momentum will continue, especially if it will again move into the UN Security Council or Assembly. Slowly, slowly, the world is recognizing a Palestinian state. And internationally, regarding the status of Palestine, there will be a Palestinian state without anyone asking us. It's true that on the ground, this state will not have an army and so on. But this state internationally will be worldwide recognized without Israel being asked and with everybody knowing that the Israeli government of today is objecting to it.
There is one more question that occurs to me, and that's, you know, are these European countries have recognized the state of Palestine, but what other steps could be taken diplomatically to increase the pressure on Israel to engage in negotiations around a two-state solution? What moves should Europe be making in order to put pressure on Israel to try to engage in dialogue?
I think the three countries that just did it have to go on and lobby with others that they will join. Once there is a majority in the EU, I think it should become an EU decision to recognize Palestine. This will be an unbelievable blow to this government. The other thing is sanctions on settlers. More European countries should join these sanctions on settlers because the settlers are leading Israel. And sanctions of the settlers is a direct blow to our prominent ministers that who some of them are settlers. So I think this is these are the two things that Europe can still do.
And that was Alon Liel, former Director General of the Israeli Foreign Ministry, speaking to me earlier. Now I'm joined here by Fine Gael Minister of State, Emer Higgins, and Matt Carty of Sinn Féin. We're expecting Catherine Connolly shortly as well. Emer Higgins, you've recognised the state of Palestine, the government has, and it's going to be announced next Tuesday. But in order for that to have a practical effect, what's next?
Well, I think it does actually have a practical effect as it is. It's the right thing to do for a start. The fact that Ireland's voice isn't the only one doing it, I think, is quite significant. And ultimately, there is no prospect of a two-state solution unless both Palestine and Israel are recognised.
Sure. Could you tell me what the practical effect is? Because in excess of 130 countries have already recognised the state of Palestine, 141, I think this will bring it up to 144 after Ireland, Norway and Spain's move. If it didn't change after 130-odd countries had done it, what changes now?
Well, the context is very different today than it was when some countries did this a number of years ago. Ultimately, the status quo is what's gotten us to where we are. It drives extremism, it drives radicalism, it drives violence. And what we want to do is break that cycle. And I think it's a significant step to come out and say that and to express solidarity with the people of Palestine. And I suppose maybe if I could just take this opportunity to also condemn on the record Hamas and what happened on October 7th. And there's been 1,000 Israelis killed since then, but there's been 35,000 Palestinians killed since then. And that's in stark contrast. It's completely disproportionate. And they're the actions that Israel has taken.
So given the government that's in charge, Benjamin Netanyahu, you heard Alon Liel say it there, he's heavily reliant on parties in government that have been described even by a former prime minister as right-wing racist extremists. So is this going to convince the Israeli government in any way to engage meaningfully in any form of dialogue?
it's hard to convince the Israeli government. We know that. And that's why the world needs to take action here too. I heard the doctor say that the EU is stronger when it acts together. And that's absolutely true. And that's something that our Taoiseach, Simon Harris, is really advocating for at an EU level, that we have an EU response on this. I think the more countries that stand together on this, the more chance we have of that. That's diplomacy. That's democracy.
All right. Matt Carty, your party welcomed this move. What practical effect do you think it'll have on the ground?
I think the first thing I hope it does is give the people of Palestine a message that they're being heard, that they are a people, that they are a nation. I agree in the immediate sense it is unlikely that Israel is going to change tack. And that's because despite, you know, the moves this week, despite the findings of the ICJ and the order of the ICJ in relation to Rafah, and despite the order of the International Criminal Court to issue arrest warrants, Israel actually hasn't faced a single consequence in real terms for what it has been carrying out. Not only the genocide in Gaza over the past 7 months, but the ongoing grievous violations of international law that they have been engaged in for decades. Israel has essentially been permitted to carry on. And to me, at this point, Ireland having now made what is an historic decision for both Ireland and Palestine, I would contend a decision that should have been made a decade ago or any time in the last decade. But we now cannot simply just continue to have the most preferential economic, diplomatic, trading relationships with the state that is actually preventing the peace process that we know is required, that is denying the rights of the people of Palestine, and as we speak, is engaged in what are very clearly breaches of international law. There might have been some discussion on that, but the International Court of Justice has issued an order on Israel. They are the arbiters of international law. They have issued an order. Israel is in violation of that order as we sit here in this studio, regardless of the 15,000 children that they've murdered since October, regardless of the 35,000 civilians,
The question is...
Point I'm making is there has to be consequences on Israel, because it is clear that any steps towards a peace process will not come from within the Israeli political system.
Catherine Connolly, you've welcomed the move to recognise the state of Palestine as well. What would you see as the big tangible benefit from this?
Well, first of all, I welcome the fact that the government has recognised Palestine, and they have bridged the gap between what people feel on the ground in Ireland and what the government is doing, and that's very welcome. I think symbolically it's extremely important, and more than any country we know the importance of symbolism. And just over 100 years ago last year, we went forward to the League of Nations at the time. And prior to that, we went forward in relation to the post-war meeting in Paris, where we weren't received too well. But the point I'm making is over 100 years ago, we knew the importance of symbolism as we were emerging as a new state. So in that context, I think it's extremely important that we finally recognised Palestine. We need now, obviously, to follow up with actions. We need to bring the bill into action, the Occupied Territories Bill. We need to take action in relation to the American army going through Shannon. We need to take action.
Because on that specific point, if you're dealing specifically with what kind of things would drive forward a dialogue on a two-state solution, what influence would the use of Shannon Airport have on that? Is it slightly opportunistic on the campaign to halt the use of Shannon Airport by the US military to tie it to this particular issue?
I've never been opportunistic in my life. And actually, I sit here after reading the judgment by the International Court of Justice, and I've read the previous judgment as well, and I'm just horrified at what we have allowed happen while we stood idly by. We're finally taking action. In terms of recognising Palestine, now we need to do something else. To equate that, as Israeli commentators have done, with being anti-Semitic, is simply just unacceptable and deplorable. We need now to lead. Europe has not led. Europe has been utterly divisive. Von der Leyen has been an utter disgrace when she said she'd stand shoulder to shoulder with Israel. We need to lead. We have taken the first steps with Norway. and with Spain, and we need to follow up on that to enable a peaceful solution, to enable the Israeli people to live in peace and the Palestinian people with each other. We need to facilitate that and we need to use our voice in that manner.
All right, I'll come back to that. Eimear Higgins, there was a bit of dissent, it seems, within your own party on this. John Paul Phelan, the TD for Carlo Kilkenny, and Paul Keogh in Waterford disagreed with this decision. We're unhappy that it hadn't been discussed within Fine Gael before the move has made.
Those are the reports from our parliamentary party, which we often read on Twitter, which are supposed to happen in secret, but doesn't often happen that way. There was some discussion on this. You're correct. Some people felt there should have been wider discussion within the parliamentary party.
I'm after confusing Waterford with Wexford there. Paul Keogh is in Wexford. I've been corrected. Go on and continue. Sorry.
There was discussion at the parliamentary party on this. Some people did feel that we needed to discuss it more within the parliamentary party. I was not one of those people. I organised briefings with Sadaka for Fine Gael parliamentary party members earlier in the year, both this year and last year. And I've had really good engagement with our current Taoiseach, our previous Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, and the ambassador on this issue. I think this was absolutely the right thing to do.
Can I ask you then, so the state of Palestine is recognised and the aim is to drive forward a two-state solution to all of this. The next logical step would be for Palestinian institutions to be fit for purpose, for elections to be held within Palestine for the first time since 2007. And the outcome of those elections might well be a win for Hamas. What then?
At the moment, I don't think we've got a situation where elections are going to be held. We've got an absolute crisis situation where there are children starving because of a man-made famine happening in Gaza at the moment. That's the situation on the ground. That's the emergency response that we need to respond to. Part of our response is recognising the state of Palestine, because that is how we get to a two-state solution. And I think if we recognise the state of Palestine, if we recognise the freedom and the justice of Palestinians, then we also remove any cause for any justification for terrorism. We remove any cause for any justification for militant activity. And we know that in our country better than anyone. There's no cause for that in Ireland in the post-Good Friday Agreement era.
Oh, OK, but the strong indications are, in terms of polling and everything else, is that Hamas has actually gained in strength. They won the last election, the last time out in Gaza, and support for them has grown on the West Bank as well. So if there was an election held and if they won, does that present Ireland with a predicament?
You're asking me to commentate on something that hasn't happened. Ultimately, we know there's elections happening in India, there's elections happening in the UK, there's elections, I think a third of the population are going to the polls this year between America as well.
Sure, but
you can never preempt or predict any electorate. What I can say is that we in Ireland want to get to a two-state solution. And this is the first step on that path. And that is a path to peace.
Right.
That's where we need to get to.
Matt Carthy, would you agree, first of all, that that's the way that the polling is pointing? And secondly, Eimear Higgins doesn't want to go down the road of a hypothetical, but it's worth planning towards and it's worth thinking about, surely, no?
No, it's a complete deflection, Colin, with all due respect. What would you expect the people of Palestine to do? Every single effort towards peace. There is a peaceful leadership in Palestine, in the PLO. Every single move that they have made has been undermined by Israel, and the international community haven't stood up to the mark. Even when peaceful demonstrations, peaceful actions were taken.
They couldn't have held elections since 2007, could they not?
If you recall when a flotilla of humanitarian aid, non-violent,
Matt Carthy.
Will you let me finish, Colin?
No, because you said the question was a deflection, you've gone on to a separate subject.
No, I'm not.
No, the fact of the matter is that there has been no elections
for
the Palestinian Legislative Council since 2007.
Yes.
The state of Palestine has been recognised. It's reasonable to assume that an election will have to be held at some point.
No, what you're saying, I think an election should have been
held. It has not been within the gift of Israel or the international community for that election to be called. That's within the gift of the Palestinian Authority, and they have not called an election.
The point I am making is this. if you want to have a government that is intent on delivering their aims and objectives through peaceful means, then you have to show the people that that is a live prospect. When the people organised a flotilla of aid, the response of Israel was to actually shoot down the people. When the people of Gaza...
Surely depends on legitimacy, legitimacy is achieved at the ballot box.
I'm asking you now, Colm, to let me finish a sentence. Please. Because when the people of Gaza organised a demonstration, peaceful demonstration, to mark along, to march along the,
no,
the border
Marcati,
of Gaza,
you've gone off. You're giving me.
I am giving you the context. There has not been an election
since 2007. It's within the gift of the Palestinian Authority to hold those elections. There are people within Palestine who want to have those elections. Opposition within Palestine who want those elections.
And
they have not been held.
And as an outsider, I believe that there should have been elections. What I am giving you is the context to the Israeli speaking points that you are putting to me.
It's a statement of fact. If
you allowed me to finish the points that I wanted to make, which I think are crucially important.
Well, with respect, you're not answering a direct question.
What is the direct question?
The direct question
should
is,
there
is
be elections? Yes, there should. Is it likely that those elections will return extremists? Absolutely. Right. I am giving you the reason for that.
And what then? How should Ireland prepare for that eventuality?
Because what Ireland is doing is recognising the state of Palestine in order to ensure that we can have deliver and play a constructive role in a peace process.
Okay.
The most extreme government in the Middle East today is the government of Netanyahu. That is the most extremist
and nobody is suggesting
that we don't recognise the state
of Israel.
As
opposed to Saudi Arabia, where women can't drive cars. That's the most extreme government. Israel is the most extreme government in the Middle East.
Saudi Arabia is an extreme government.
Okay,
Saudi Arabia hasn't murdered 15,000 children in the last seven months, Colm. I don't know if you've recognised there's actually a genocide ongoing in Gaza as we speak. The International Court of Justice has ordered Israel to stop.
McCarthy, so, there are other participants on this panel.
Well, if you would allow me to finish a single point without actually...
Well, if you had answered the question, we could have got through this business quicker. Catherine Connolly, there is also, I suppose, having recognised the state of Palestine, certain bilateral discussions the Irish government are going to have with the leadership of the Palestinian people, namely elections, recognition of human rights and all of those other issues that it would be normal to have in bilateral discussions.
Colm, I'm not sure where this discussion is going, so I'll try and stick with why I'm on your programme. We have the International
Court. Well, with respect, Catherine Connolly...
There's been no respect so far, really. There's been an interruption with the previous speaker. If we could allow a little debate on it, that would be helpful. All guests are on the programme to answer
questions that are put to them. Now, if you object to the question, that's fine. You can tell me you object to the question.
I didn't object to anything. I said I didn't understand where this was going, this constant interruption.
Ireland has recognised the state of Palestine. Mm-hmm. And now Ireland has a different set of calculations to go forward with when they're dealing with a state they recognise as opposed to a territory that has not been a state in the Irish government's eyes heretofore. And in its dealings with that now state, will the Irish government in bilateral discussions be calling for, or should they be calling on the Palestinian Authority to hold elections and act like a normal state? That's the question.
I have no difficulty with the Irish government calling for election. But you're operating... This is bizarre. We have a court of the ICJ absolutely issuing orders for the slaughter to stop and the onslaught in Rafah. We have them calling for independent observers to go in to see what's happening in Palestine. We have them issuing an order to preserve evidence for the case in relation to genocide. And you're asking me about elections in Palestine. There's absolutely no functioning hospitals. 35,000 people are dead. 10,000 apparently are buried under rubble. And you're talking about elections when we're at a point where we're appealing to America to stop sending arms, Germany and the other countries.
You're mischaracterising the question, Catherine Connolly. I'm asking you, Ireland having recognised a state, should the bilateral relations between Ireland and that state hold them to account just as they would hold to account any other state?
We should always speak truth to power and hold injustice to account. We have Israeli boasting that they're the only democracy in the Middle East. I despair if that is democracy, where they have committing genocide as we speak.
All right.
And you're asking me about elections, which I've no difficulty answering you when I answered you immediately. Okay. I had no difficulty condemning Hamas when they crossed the border on the 7th of October. What has happened since, with the collusion of the EU and with America, is simply appalling.
Okay.
And if we could get to discuss that, that would be very helpful.
And indeed, we have had discussions on this programme, and there have been discussions of that on other programmes as well. But we're going to move to another subject. That's the means testing of people seeking international protection. We'll get to that after this break.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.